off your entire cart. And new customers get another introductory discount on top of that when you select Angie Austin with Daybreak USA at checkout. So go to ovationhair.com. Go to ovationhair.com. You'll love it. Ovationhair.com.
There is heartbreak in Israel as a teenager gets stabbed to death in her own bed. USA Radio's Russ Jones has the details.
13-year-old Halil Ariel was sleeping in her bed Thursday morning when a Palestinian broke into her home and barbarically stabbed her to death while she was still asleep. The 17-year-old Muslim terrorist breached a security fence, gaining access to her home in Kiryat Arba, a settlement in Samaria near Hebron. The day was supposed to be one of celebration as thousands of Israeli children completed another school year. From all of us at USA Radio News, may her memory be a blessing. I'm Russ Jones.
The Marine Corps is taking the man out of its job titles. The Marine Corps Times saying the Corps is making gender-neutral name changes to 19 job titles, replacing the word man with marine. A basic infantry man, for instance, will now be a basic infantry marine. This is USA Radio News, powered by USARadio.com.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
The bombings at Istanbul's airport remind many people of the coordinated terror attacks in Brussels back in March. USA Radio's Tammy Rose reports.
The plan of attack on Istanbul's airport seems ripped from the pages of the attack on Brussels. In both attacks, three bomb-toting terrorists, all arriving by taxi, all targeting the main international terminal.
Well, I just heard these screams. I turn around the corner and it's just this wall of people running towards me, you know, tripping over themselves, police with guns out.
As ISIS suffers setbacks, losing ground in both Iraq and Syria, high-profile attacks hit other parts of the world. In November last year, 130 people killed across Paris in coordinated suicide attacks. 2 weeks later, December 2nd, a husband and wife pledge allegiance to ISIS before killing 14 people in San Bernardino, California. For USA Radio News, I'm Tammy Rowe.
The California wildfire known as the Border Fire takes two lives. We get details from Randy Fuller.
Jim Keefe and his girlfriend Kyrie were found dead in the 7,600-acre burn zone yesterday. Officials say people who live near the Bell Valley area home of the missing couple went looking for them and found them on a hill behind their trailer off Route 94. The county medical examiner's office is still working to confirm the couple's cause of death. Fire officials say the border fire is nearing full containment. I'm Randy Fuller.
And I'm John DeMaster with USA Radio News. You can get breaking news at usaradio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's Pro Thursday, June 30th, 2016, I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
Taking care of business. Every day, taking care of business. Every way I've been taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, New Jersey, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington, in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we have to check the weather, and it's currently 79 beautiful degrees as you stroll along Main Street here in Flemington at 12:05. Today, we're going to have sunny skies with a high of 87, clear tonight with a low of 63. For tomorrow, partly cloudy skies with the potential of a couple of thunderstorms, a high of 83 and clearing with a low of 61. Saturday, we're going to have mostly sunny skies with a high of 81 and a low of 55. Sunday, it'll be sunny with a high of 85 and a low of 56. Independence Day, Monday, July 4th, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 86 and a low of 62. Current check of the financial market shows everything is up on the most part. The Dow is up 117.76 to 17,812.44. NASDAQ up 30.45 to 480970. S&P 500 is up 12.93 to 2,083.70. Oil down at $1.14 to $48.74 per barrel. Gold is down $5 to $1,321.90 an ounce. Seems like everybody's initial panic over Brexit has been recovered. Well, I do want to apologize and sorry I missed last week's show. I had to go to Rutgers to attend orientation for my son, Colin, who is going to be transferring there in the fall. So I was teasing Laura and Amy out in the lobby earlier that playing the part of Jim Gano today will actually be Jim Gano. So glad to be with you as we get ready for the 4th of July holiday. And I know in some businesses, when people start seeing long weekends coming up, they start to forget that there's still business to be done. And so I encourage everybody to, you know, tough it out for a couple more hours, maybe one more day, and then hopefully you'll be able to start your getaway as you head down to the shore, to the lakes, to the mountains, wherever you may be going. And then, of course, there is my weekend and what I'm looking forward to doing. And I was hoping, there we go.
This is Lewis, darling. It's so nice to have you back where you belong.
In my garage.
You looking swell, darling. I can't tell, darling. You still glowing strong.
Hello, Dolly by Louis Armstrong. You know, I've had that song in my head all week, and that's because for about the last 8 months, Dolly, and anybody who listens to the show knows that that's the nickname that was given to my 1948 Plymouth by Debbie from Heritage Guild when we had a contest a couple years ago, Name My Car contest, just shortly after I bought the car. And she said that when she looked at the car, she named it Dolly after Dolly Parton because it was big and curvaceous. And, well, Dolly's got a new pair of shoes. She's got new tires. She's got new brakes. She actually stops at the stop sign now. So got a chance to get out there last weekend with Dolly and take a couple of cruises around the back roads of Somerset County. So very glad to be doing that. And this weekend, I anticipate that there will be more of the same. So it's all good. And I love spending time with Dolly. And, of course, I'm talking about my car, not Parton at that point. Definitely looking forward to getting out on the road this weekend with her. Got a little bit more of work to do, a little bit of rear axle work and a little bit of transmission work. And when that is all done, then Dolly and I will be spending plenty of time together this weekend. So looking forward to that. But yes, tonight. One of the annual events that I look forward to so much is the Bazalone Bowl. That's a football game featuring high school seniors from Somerset County schools. This year, we've, in addition to Del Valle High School, a couple of players from South Hunterdon will be playing in the game this year. That'll be held tonight at Somerville High School, 7 p.m. So if you're interested in seeing any of your favorite high school football players, they may be playing in the Bazalone Bowl tonight. If you have nothing else to do on a Thursday night, head on out to Somerville High School and watch some action. I'll be announcing the game for the fourth year in a row. Looking forward to that. We did our run-through last night. Everything seemed to work real well. And just looking forward to getting down there tonight and announcing that game. So hopefully that'll be a good time. And of course, I can't help but play Phil Collins because, you know, anytime you get a chance to play Phil Collins on the radio, it's always a good day. I want to talk to you about something serious, if I can, for a minute. Many of you know that I went to school, college in West Virginia, in a small town called Salem, West Virginia, which is about an hour south of Morgantown, 2 hours south of Pittsburgh. Absolutely love the state. It gets a bad rap, but when you drive through there and you see the sign over the highway that says, "Welcome to wild and wonderful West Virginia," they couldn't have come up with a better ad campaign if they tried. Last week, they were southern portion of the state, down near the Charleston area, White Sulphur Springs, etc., was hit with some very devastating floods after the rains. I talked to a friend of mine last night, Chris Brunetti. He was my roommate in college, still lives in southern West Virginia. And he had put a post up on Facebook saying that if you could send any cleaning supplies, mops, brooms, buckets, etc., even shovels, you know, because they have to get rid of all the mud now that is residual, to please, you know, do so. And he was looking to take this on a more local level, I think. He wasn't anticipating that his roommate in college might have a radio show that's broadcast around the country and might be able to talk about this. So here's what I want to do. I would like everybody to, if they could, to just compile a small box of cleaning supplies, and you have your choice. You can either bring it to my store, Crown Trophy of Flemington, at 33 Rayville Avenue in Flemington here at the Stable Shopping Center, or send it out yourself. And it's being collected by the Elkview Baptist Church, and that's at 1150 Main Street in Elkview, West Virginia. Zip code is 25071. I'll try to replay this a little later in the show just to remind you. But so anything we can do, mops, sponges, cleaning supplies like Pine Sol or anything like that, this is going to be a huge cleanup. And unfortunately, as we see disaster after disaster after disaster, it's in the news and the headlines for a week. You have NBC Lightning News covering it every day. And then all of a sudden another headline comes up and, you know, it's forgotten about. And people assume that they just get back with their lives. But if you remember the flooding from Hurricane Floyd that devastated Bound Brook, then you know how much is involved here. White Sulphur Springs is a beautiful area. It's the home of the Greenbrier Golf Country Club and Resort. It's also known as the bunker for Congress, because in the basement of the Greenbrier Hotel is basically a second House of Representatives building, if you will, where in the event during the Cold War that we came under attack, all of the senators and congressmen were supposed to go there, and it had a, you know, complete bomb shelter. The walls are like 3 feet thick, and that's where we'd be running our country. But again, that even the golf course was absolutely devastated. They're supposed to have the Greenbrier Classic this year, I think on July 12th, and that has since had to be canceled because the golf course has been destroyed. So again, if you can help out our friends in West Virginia, please do so by sending any supplies to the Elkview Baptist Church at 1150 Main Street in Elkview, West Virginia, 25071. And as I told my roommate and friend Chris Brunetti last night, if God can bring you to it, he'll bring you through it. So hopefully they will be able to recover from that. Currently 12:14. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to talk to you about one of the most exciting things to hit Flemington in about 30 years, and I think you may want to be a part of it. So stick around and stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine, taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you as we do every Thursday at this time. So glad you can join us. Well, there's some big news happening in Flemington this week. The first is on Monday night, I attended the town council meeting where the budget was fully funded and approved for the new Flemington Community Partnership. As you may recall, the Flemington Business Improvement District was dissolved back in November of last year, and council decided that they still had to have some form of a business improvement district, but they just wanted other people running it. So, and I was tapped as one of the people. There are now 9 members on this board with the focus that we're putting Flemington first. And the first project out of the box is going to come online tomorrow night, and that is at the old Heinlein gas station. This is a site that for years was in disrepair. We partnered with Lowe's, Lowe's Heroes campaign. They came in, cleaned up the site. Dave Dallas also came in with some people and cleaned up the site. Lowe's painted the building. They've built picnic benches, planters. They filled them with plants. There's somebody volunteering to water all those plants. The place looks fantastic. You want to talk about a turnaround. This is it. So tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, we've renamed that space. We're not referring to it as Heinlein's anymore. We're referring to it now as the filling station at the patio. Now, this space is basically now going to become a park under the auspices of the Flemington Borough Council. And so you can use it any time of day. On Friday and Saturday nights, from July 1st through September 24th, various vendors are going to be coming in to be able to serve beer and wine. It's been fully permitted by the State Liquor Commission. On certain nights, food will be available. So tomorrow night, Grateful Bites will be the food vendor. And what you'll be able to do is take a look at their menu, place an order. They're just down the road on Route 12. They will call in the order, and then someone will drive it over. So if you wanted to have a beer or a glass of wine, order some food and have that brought over, that can happen. On a couple of nights later in July, Bonefish Grill will be here, or Bluefish Grill will be here, right on site to cook food. And so I think this is going to be one of those projects that is really going to help attract people to Flemington. It's a very unique space. Just this week, I read an article about the 20 best beer gardens in Philadelphia. This is something that towns across America are starting to do. I'm very glad that we got the permission to do it here in Flemington. For so long, and for basically too long, people have been saying that the future of Flemington rests with the fate of the Union Hotel. And for about 7 years, I've been saying that that's a mistake and that shouldn't be the focus. So the fact that we're able to do new projects and bring people back to the borough, I think, is going to be a great thing. Whatever happens with the Union Hotel and the proposed project from Jack Cust, you know, we'll support it. But I think that at some point, this town and its residents have to get into the mentality of we have to move on and we have to move forward. So hopefully the beer garden tomorrow night, the filling station at the patio will be a good first step in that direction. So hopefully you'll be able to join us from 5 to 10 p.m. tomorrow night and then again on Saturday night. Well, there is a reason why you should probably fill your gas tank today because there is the potential that the State Assembly and State Senate and Governor Christie are going to pass a bill that would raise the gas tax 23 cents, and it could take effect as early as tomorrow. So I just passed the gas station on the way into the show, and it said $1.94 for gas. Well, tomorrow, that could be $1.17 or $1.22. Never was really good at math. So you may want to fill up your tanks today. Because it's probably the last time you're going to be able to get gas at under $2 a gallon for quite some time. The Democrat-led Assembly passed the Christie-backed legislation to hike the state's gasoline tax by 23 cents per gallon while cutting the state's sales tax from 7 to 6%. Now, motorists could see the hikes take effect by Friday. The state's gas tax would increase from 14.5 cents per gallon to 37.5 cents per gallon under the plan. One hurdle remains, however. The Senate plans to vote on the plan Thursday, today, and lawmakers in the upper chamber say they prefer a proposal that would gradually phase out the state estate tax. And that would cut costs by about $120 million next fiscal year and $512 million by fiscal 2021, according to lawmakers. New Jersey's gas price average, meanwhile, was at $2.10, according to AAA Mid-Atlantic. The vote early Tuesday came after a day of backroom talks between Christie and legislative leaders such as Assembly Speaker Vincent Prieto. According to lawmakers, observers said the bill came as a bit of a surprise since there were no experts who testified, no committee held a hearing on the plan, and a bill was even ready and wasn't ready until shortly before it was voted on at 12:30 a.m. Christie, in a statement, highlighted the sales tax cut portion of the proposal, saying he was pleased that the Assembly has heeded my suggestion for tax fairness, which I've been calling for all along. This is the first broad-based tax cut for all New Jerseyans since 1994, he said. It's much needed, while at the same time we are going to have constitutionally dedicated revenue to improve roads, bridges, and the mass transit systems in the state. The Senate must now vote on the plan to fund the state's Transportation Trust Fund at $2 billion a year over the next 8 years, a fund which is supposed to go bankrupt by Friday. The TTF pays for capital reconstruction and repairs of roads and bridges, many of which have fallen into disrepair over the past 20 years. In a 2006 state study, more than half of the state's drawbridges received low safety ratings. The 84-year-old Pulaski Skyway, whose design is considered unsafe, is currently being repaired and replaced. The $1.5 billion project is expected to be completed by 2020. So there's a whole lot going on. It came out this morning that the Senate could actually reject this bill if the estate tax isn't also removed or withdrawn. The sales tax is going to be reduced from 7% to 6% eventually. There's a lot of arguing over that, saying that we could lose up to $1.8 billion in revenue right there for the state. So you kind of like dig one hole and fill in another, but we're really not solving the problem. Assemblyman Jack Cetarelli from the 16th District said he voted no for the plan. Jack is very prudent, very smart guy, and he said that this is just a bad bill. So we'll have to see whether or not this actually makes it to the governor's desk and then is signed into law. In other New Jersey news, last week the New Jersey Senate passed a bill last Thursday that would gradually raise the state minimum wage to $15 an hour. Currently it's at $8.38. Now that measure has already been approved by the state assembly, so the next step would be Governor Christie's desk, where it's expected to be vetoed. The expectation is that Christie will veto it, but his spokesman would only say that the governor has to see the final piece of legislation before making that call. Nevertheless, Christie has been highly critical of the proposal, citing it as reckless. If Christie doesn't veto the bill, then New Jersey would become the third state behind California and New York to be on track toward a $15 minimum wage. And just last week, the District of Columbia passed a similar measure that the mayor there is expected to sign. If Christie does veto it, advocates may get their way through other means. Proponents have said they will put the measure on the 2017 ballot to let voters decide whether the state should move toward a $15 minimum wage. That's what they did in 2013 when Christie vetoed a much smaller increase. Voters approved a constitutional amendment that raised the then $7.25 minimum wage by about a dollar and indexed it to inflation. The bill passed the New Jersey State Senate on Thursday would raise the $8.38 minimum to $10.10 in 2017 and then by at least $1.25 every year thereafter until 2021. At that point, it would continue to be inflation adjusted. Now, unlike New York, the New Jersey bill does not allow for a slower implementation schedule in the less economically robust parts of the state. A $15 minimum wage is delivering the first big raise for workers at the bottom in decades, said Paul Sahn, general counsel of the National Employment Law Report. NELP estimates it could mean thousands of dollars more per year for nearly 1 million workers in New Jersey alone. But members of the New Jersey Chamber of Commerce aren't happy. They expect they'll have to reduce workers' hours, modify their benefits, and not hire as many employees, says Michael Edginton, who's the chamber's executive vice president of government relations. And more broadly, it will be harder to strategically plan for their businesses, Edginton said. He noted that they are still adjusting to the 2013 ballot measure changes, and he added that whenever the minimum wage goes up, that can lead to more experienced employees asking for a raise and owners' costs going up further once insurance and payroll tax expenses are factored in. All we're looking for is a little predictability, a little certainty, he said. Sahn notes that if New Jersey does implement the approved measure, 21% of the U.S. workforce would be covered by a $15 minimum wage. Your thoughts on this? What do you think? Is this something that's good for business, bad for business? Are we just, is it another handout? And, you know, there's arguments, a million arguments, pro and con on this. My cons are very simple, and that is that once you raise the minimum wage, we've already seen it in California where restaurants like McDonald's have replaced workers with kiosks where you just go in and you punch in, you know, Big Mac, large fry, Diet Coke, and then fewer employees in the back will actually make the burger and then deliver it to the counter. McDonald's is researching robotic chefs, believe it or not, whether or not that can take place. But if everything becomes automated, would you need to have any employees there other than to accept money? And you could always do that on a debit card or something like that. So we're already replacing workers with computers in McDonald's just because of this. Others have said that when they look at their staff and increasing their salary, they're already factoring in how many people they would have to lay off just to maintain the status quo. And that factors in taxes, insurance, and things like that. So I'm not sure that this is the answer. What I think the answer is that the people who are making $8.38 an hour have to get better jobs. They have to get better training. They have to get better education, better skills, so that they bring more value to the table. And I would much rather see somebody, maybe a high school dropout that's making minimum wage, go back, get their GED, get their degree, possibly go to college, get the skill sets they need so that they can earn a $12, $14, $15 wage, not just have it handed to them. That's, you know, my opinion. I just, you know, there's a minimum wage for a reason. A lot of times this was set up just so that high school kids could get a job in the summer. It wasn't designed that it would be your salary for life. And I think that's where people make the mistake. And so to ask to jump from $7.25 or $8.38 to $15 an hour puts the burden on the employer. The next downside of this, as costs go up in employment, costs of your goods are going to go up as well. You can't sell the same product at the same price if all of your costs go up. You're going to be out of business in a very short period of time. So I think at that point, that's when legislators also have to look at that because, you know, I always give the example in my store. My $7 trophy is going to become a $14 trophy real quick because I have to be able to absorb those costs somewhere. Is the customer going to pay that? And then the argument that someone made the other day was that, well, if a person's making more money, they'll have more money to spend. Not necessarily so, because once the cost of goods goes up, you're pretty much at the same level you were at anyway. You're just making more and you're being taxed more. So I don't know if this is the answer. I don't know that I have the answer, but I think that it has to be looked at very carefully before we just do a broad stroke fix on this. Currently 12:29, we'll step away for a quick news break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about three steps to keep customers subscribed to your email list. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Kelly Sloan.
All clear at Joint Base Andrews. It was on lockdown due to reports of an active shooter situation. All personnel were told to shelter in place. Joint Base Andrews in Maryland houses Air Force One. President Obama was at the White House during the situation. A top Turkish official is saying evidence gathered so far points to ISIS being responsible for Tuesday's attack on an airport in Istanbul. President Obama promised support.
We're still learning all the facts, but we know this is part of our broader shared fight against terrorist networks.
Turkey's interior minister says the death toll is now 43, with more than 200 others injured. 19 foreigners are among the dead. The State Department says they are not aware of any American citizens who were killed or seriously injured. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Angie with Daybreak USA. All right, I just returned from a trip, and guess what? My hair looked great. You know why? I actually put my Ovation Cell Therapy into a baggie and brought it with me. And my friend's like, well, they already have, you know, shampoo and conditioner here at the hotel. Like, why do you care that you're using Ovation? Well, you know why I care? Because my hair looks good with Ovation. So whenever I travel, I bring it with me, even if I have to bring it in a baggie. And right now, you can actually join in the Ovation Cell Therapy movement. Load up your shopping cart with all of the Ovation products, from formulas designed for any type of hair to styling products, conditioners, and vitamins, and get 20% off your entire cart. That's right. Right now, for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire cart. And new customers get another introductory discount on top of that when you select Angie Austin with Daybreak USA at checkout. So go to ovationhair.com. Go to ovationhair.com. You'll love it. Ovationhair.com.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Currently 12:32 in the weather for this 4th of July weekend. Today we're going to have sunny skies with a high of 87. Clear tonight with a low of 63. For tomorrow we're going to have partly cloudy skies and the potential of a couple thunderstorms with a high of 83. Clearing later in the day with a low of 61. Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a high of 81 and a low of 55. Sunday, it'll be sunny with a high of 85 degrees and a low of 56. And for Independence Day, Monday, July 4th, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 86 degrees and a low of 62. What else can we possibly talk about? Well, on this holiday weekend, you may be thinking about how you can market your business better. And email marketing is one of the oldest forms of digital marketing. It's also the type of marketing most used and abused by marketers. Now, sending too many emails or emails that don't matter to your customers will decrease your subscription list faster than you can hit the junk button. Your email subscription list is incredibly valuable and needs to be protected. So to make sure your subscribers are engaged, keep these pointers in mind whenever you send an email. First of all, timing is key. Now, have you ever come home from a long day and just when you finally start to fall asleep, you hear the buzz on your phone alerting you to a promotional email? What do? Well, probably you get mad and you hit unsubscribe. Well, that company just lost a potentially valuable customer just because they wanted to be at the top of your inbox in the morning. Now, you also know, you should know, when you should send your emails. Based on your industry and your location, optimal email times are all over the map. If you send a lot of email, it's beneficial to keep analytics on your sends and see which times and on which days you get the greatest number of people opening and clicking through to your website. When each dollar spent on email marketing returns $56 on average, it's worth it to track and explore these numbers. You also want to make it worthwhile for your recipient. And if you're going to add to your customers' inboxes, your email better be useful to them. Creative subject lines may get your emails open, but it's the content inside that will drive them to visit your website or your store. Your customers are thinking, what's in it for me? When reading any of your marketing materials, so never send an email solely for your benefit. Include helpful information or a coupon. Your goal should be to either get them to buy now or build trust to earn their future business. You also want to send fewer emails. Now, sending less email can actually improve your email marketing efforts. There are two components to this tactic: removing unengaged users from your email list and then sending fewer emails. Best practice is to purge an email address from your list if the person hasn't opened an email in 6 months. Yes, your list is going to become smaller, but that list now only includes customers who genuinely want to hear from you. This group will also become much more engaged when you focus on them. The one major exception to this rule is your seasonal customers. Now, some people may only buy around Christmas time, so you want to keep track of those customers and only message them around the anniversary of their last purchase. Your customer will appreciate your restraint in sending emails, so keep them happy, and you'll be in their inbox when they're ready to buy and not their junk folder. So all good advice on email marketing. I want to skip around on a couple of stories here. This kind of follows what we just talked about with the email marketing. And there's a simple mistake that business owners make that can actually stunt your small business's growth. And this is a very short story, so pay attention out there in radio land. So the question is, do you have trouble making time to market your small business? And if you said yes, you're not alone. 68% of small business owners set aside time for marketing, but they end up spending that time on other things, according to a recent Manta poll. This is the business equivalent of building a ballpark but never printing tickets. Ignoring your marketing is a surefire way to kill your sales. Now, you can have the best product in the world, but if nobody can find you, you're not going to sell anything, said Heather Harmon, Manta's marketing manager. Small businesses cite marketing as their number one challenge, Harmon added. I can tell you that with the consulting that I do with businesses, other Crown stores and then other businesses as well, the chief complaint is always, I don't know how, I don't have the time, I don't know what I would write about. And a lot of times I keep telling them, you know, we're not trying to write the next Faulkner novel. We're not trying to be the next Hemingway. We're trying to get a message across and create a front of mind presence that's engaging to, you know, the reader. So again, you know, let's say I'm just going to take the trophy store, for example. Let's say I have absolutely nothing to write about. You know, there's no sales coming up. There's nothing seasonal. But I have 300 trophies on the table getting ready to ship out. Well, just take a picture of that and send that out and say, man, we've been busy here in our store. And hopefully the kids that are going to receive these trophies will appreciate it. If there's something that's unique and special, or if someone on your staff receives a certification, that is a story that can now be sent out to your subscribers, you know, because they have an interest in the success of your organization. So I would caution you not to throw up the I can't do it, I don't have time excuse, and just start to look around and see what you can write to these people about. You have to remember one thing. People have to know who you are, where you are, and what you do. And you have to keep telling them that. You know, I don't want to say people are stupid, but they're bombarded with marketing messages. You get it on the TV, you get it on the billboards, you hear it on the radio in your car, even Sirius XM that says they're commercial-free plays commercials. So it's important that you're still letting people know that you're out there and that you're doing a good job and that you have a great product to sell. If you do get a new product in, boom, there's your first email. Hey, we just got this product in, and it's fascinating, and we love it, and it's, you know, here's the price point kind of thing. And tell them how it's going to benefit them and why they should buy that particular product. If it's a new shirt and it's going to make me look like Brad Pitt, I'm all for it. But at least you're communicating with them. Once you stop, your competitors are still communicating with them, whether it's in Facebook advertising, email, inbox advertising, the, you know, any kind of search engine, you know, they're coming up. So you have to make sure that your name is still out there. Otherwise, it will not only stunt your small business growth, but it could actually kill it. So hopefully you'll take some of that advice and then continue. So maybe over the 4th of July weekend. And what I would ask you to do is not only think about an email that you could send next week to your customers, try to schedule out the next three. So here we are in July. August is coming up. That's a great time to talk about back to school. Then September, we're into fall weather. So if you're in a clothing company, let's talk about the fall clothing line that's coming out. The holidays are coming up. And I'm sending out emails now to my corporate clients telling them it's time to start thinking about your end of year awards, anything that you're going to do to recognize vendors, customers, clients, things like that, office Christmas parties, gifts for employees, things like that. So they have to start thinking about it now, because if I start saying this in October, November, they've already made up their mind and they're going to go elsewhere. So hopefully that may help you as well. So start thinking about like the next three emails, and then, you know, take the time in your head to craft a message and then hit the send button. All right. How do you improve your productivity at work? Well, one simple way to do that is to simply invest some time in your workspace. So if you want to be more productive, turn your attention away from your schedule and look at your desk instead. Now, a messy, poorly lit workspace can have a big impact on your focus and your efficiency. More people should clean off their desks, said Mitzi Wyman, who's the founder of TimeFinder. So look around. Everybody right now listening to the program, just look around your desk for a second. Is there anything there that you can remove, that you can archive, that you can store or readjust to make your workspace work? Then many times, small adjustments can create a more usable work surface. In addition to making your space more functional, small changes can make it more welcoming and inspiring. When Megan Troy founded her virtual agency Approach Marketing 6 years ago, she put a lot of thought into her workspace. When setting up my home office, I picked a space with great natural light, far away from noise and distractions, she said, and added that it helps to choose decor and furniture that you enjoy. Just like no one wants to sit in a dark gray cubicle, no one wants to work on a messy dining room table or in a cramped guest room. So invest in making your workspace comfortable, and you'll look forward to working in it more often. So, again, we're not looking at how do you increase productivity with time management or anything like that. It's just organizing yourself, getting things where they need to be. A good example of this is Tuesday night I was home, and we have a big event coming up in our house on July 9th that we're looking forward to. My son Brandon got engaged back in February, so we've invited the young lady's parents to our house and her brother and sister to come to our house on Saturday, July 9th for, you know, we'll have dinner, we'll talk and things like that. And so when we did that, when I looked at my office at home, and it used to be the formal living room and we converted it into an office, and it was just a mess. Papers everywhere, books that I've either read or haven't read stacked high. And I said, this is not what I want to show these people. So I cleaned up and cleaned out and threw out. And now I have it where every desk space is clean. Magazines that I have to read or want to read, maybe they're pertaining to my car or something like that, are stacked or neatly, and I'll be able to get to them. Books that I've read have been boxed. Books that I haven't read are up on the shelf getting ready to be read. When I walk in there now, it's just such a sense of like, wow, I really like this room. Whereas a week ago, I was like, ooh, you know, where's my manuscript? I can't find the manuscript. You know, so, you know, it does make a difference. And hopefully you'll see that if you try some of that as well. All right. In the preview to today's show, I talked about the five benefits of purchasing and financing new equipment. So let's run through that real quick. Now, when you need to update equipment or technology to keep up with your small business's growth, you have the option to either lease or purchase. And there are plenty of perks to leasing. There are also advantages that only come with owning. So here are the five benefits of purchasing new equipment for your small business. The first is you can make modifications as needed. Now, when leasing assets, there are usually restrictions on modifying the equipment because someone else owns it. If you take out a small business loan to purchase the items, you will own the property after the loan is paid off, and that allows you to modify, repair, or update the equipment as necessary. Number two, you can sell the assets to recoup the cost. Now, if you ever decide you no longer need equipment that you own, you can always sell it to get back some of the money that you put in. You could then take the proceeds and put it towards the down payment on your next big purchase. This is not an option for lease machinery since you have to keep making payments for the full term of the lease. Number three, you can deduct depreciation from your taxes. Similar to the benefit business owners realize by deducting leasing costs From taxes, you can also write off the cost of equipment depreciation. According to the IRS, companies can subtract depreciation using the Section 179 deduction, potentially saving thousands of dollars each year. Number four, you'll have more suppliers to choose from. Since small business owners have more impact as property owners, they can also oversee all decisions for purchasing equipment, including choosing which suppliers to do business with. You don't have to limit your selections to a lease or specific stock. Plus, in an emergency, you can make repair or replacement decisions swiftly without having to consult a lease agreement. And finally, your financing options will be more flexible. There are various financing choices available when purchasing equipment, such as borrowing the down payment combined with equipment financing. Now, while you may be familiar with traditional financial institutions, there are alternative lenders who specialize in working capital solutions that can be used for down payments. This provides flexibility when acquiring funds and lets business owners decide how they want to spend their money and for any company purchase. All right, we're at the final break. It's 12:45. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about the six pillars of effective sales conversations. We'll be right back.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I do want to give you a heads up. You know, I told you that today the part of Jim Gano is being played by Jim Gano. In about 2 weeks, I'm going to have a stand-in again. That other Jim Gano that comes through with the rewinds. We'll be heading to Austin, Texas for the Crown Trophy Summer Annual Franchisee Meeting. Looking forward to that. We're going to spend a little time in Waco, a little time in San Antonio. And then the meeting is in Austin, so looking forward to that. And hopefully I'll be able to get this big old butt of mine on a horse and do some horse riding down there, so looking forward to that. Don't think I'll be doing any rodeoing based on the reports I got back from the doctor on my neck, so I think those days are over. But looking forward to heading down to the Lone Star State for a good old-fashioned hoedown and Crown Trophy annual meeting and family reunion, so looking forward to that. Six pillars of effective sales conversations. The thorough sales script can be a big help when it comes to having a successful and confident sales team. Now, behind every sale is a conversation, and without communication, a lead can't become a handshake, and the dotted line is doomed to remain unsigned. Then, if conversation are key to better results, so why do so many salespeople still shoot from the hip? Why are most sales presentations such unstructured messes? Now, no matter what you're selling, if you want to help convert more leads into happy customers, it's time to take your sales pitch to the next level. You want to craft a living, breathing sales document that team members can read from word for word. They're going to find their own style, and that's great, but give them a starting point complete with room for questions, banter, and interjections. What are the key features? What will it achieve? And what are the benefits to the customer? So the six-shooter sales strategy, of course, no sharpshooter hits the bullseye every time, but everyone can become a better marksman, and just six steps stand between you and a potential pocketful of new sales. First, you want to get excited. Now, if you're like me, it's nearly impossible to not get amped up for a sales call. And for the prospect, it could be one of the most fun and interesting parts of your day. So don't kill the mood. Break out a smile and let your energy show. Number two, you want to create a foolproof game plan. Now, after consulting with dozens of companies that struggle to train salespeople, I realized that they all had one thing in common, an unscripted sales process. So as soon as I started consulting with them, I began writing them a script, and that script, with a few tweaks, has delivered big results. How many times have you been in any kind of sales situation where the person doing the selling knows less about the product than you do? Educate your sales staff, get them excited about it. They've got to know it in and out. So again, by crafting that living, breathing sales document that your team members can read from, either word for word or finding your own style, it does give them a starting point. And what it's trying to do is to get the customer engaged in conversation. Number three, you want to find some common ground. Now, people generally like people who they can relate to. So hopefully they don't always talk about business, but instead they'll discuss life outside the office. What are some of the features of the product that they like? And that's what can seal the deal. So craft the sales script to create points of rapport. Try adding some non-business questions like, where are you from? Do you have any big weekend plans? What's your favorite, you know, football team? Things like that where you can make a connection that's outside of the business realm. Number four, you want to be a student. Now, sales is about education, but it can't be one-directional. So build questions into your script to learn about a client's business. Ask about their team, their values, their business model, and customers. It's a simple truth. To understand somebody's situation, you need to ask. Five, you want to sell your why. Now, in a recent TED Talk, leadership expert Simon Sinek said, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. Now, I'm sure people buy because of the product too, but Sinek is right that people tend to buy logically and emotionally. So in every sales call, try bringing your business to something bigger. What's your big goal beyond selling products? Sales is an endeavor of the mind, but it's also tied to the heart. And number six, do the math for them. ROI is or should be a part of any sales discussion. So quantify your product's benefits in dollars and cents. A few years ago, when people started using ROI calculations during sales webinars and consultations, it helped the product click with the logical side of prospects' brains. The focus on tangible ROI, in my opinion, is a big reason that a company's business can double or triple in just a very short period of time. In the end, sales isn't rocket science. It's just people having a conversation about a product's costs and benefits. So if your goal is more conversions, well, stop just winging it on sales calls. With a script in hand and data at your fingertips, your team should soon be shooting down its toughest sales targets. Key there in that ROI portion of the conversation, I always talk about the FAB, you know, the features, achievements, and benefits. So what are the features of the product? What do you hope to achieve with it, and what will the benefits be? So let's say, you know, you have a particular product and it's going to increase manufacturing time. So if it's going to increase manufacturing time, increase production, you can sell more product. And let's say you're able to quantify it and say you're going to be able to sell 25 to 30% more product. The customer is going to say, wow, you know, I can sell 25 to 30% more product, and they're going to do the numbers in their head. You know, our product costs this, we sell it for this, here's our margin, and they're all of a sudden they're going to see the dollar signs, and that's what's going to make them want to buy. But if it's just, here's our product, it's really good, hope you like it, buy it, you know, you're not selling as much. So always try to throw in, what is the benefit to the customer so that they understand why they should be purchasing your particular product. Okay. I want to talk about cash flow. I had two stories on cash flow today, but I only have time to get to one of them. And it's very important. I'll save the other one for next week. But there are three cash flow mistakes that can sink your business. And you won't get very far in business without cash or money on hand. After all, you can't pay your bills with IOUs from your customers. But even profitable businesses can find themselves without enough cash to operate. It all comes down to timing. Do your customers pay you before you have to pay others? Now, to ensure that you don't get caught in a crunch, watch out for these common cash flow mistakes. Number one, not keeping enough cash on hand. You're always going to need a cushion to make sure operations run smoothly through slow times. When revenue is up, that means socking away a little extra for when revenue dips back down. Depending on how seasonal your business is, you may want to keep enough cash on hand to cover at least 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. Don't let late payments slide. As a small business owner, you have a close relationship with many of your customers, and you don't want to sacrifice future sales by turning into a rabid collection agency on the 29th day of every month. But don't let unpaid invoices pile up, because that's a misguided attempt to keep customers happy. You simply can't afford to let late payments affect your ability to operate your business. You also don't want to make unrealistic revenue projections. Now, when it comes to both long-term budgeting and short-term cash planning, honesty is the best policy. Honesty with yourself, that is. Now, sure, it's exciting when your business is growing and sales are moving in the right direction, but you need to be realistic about how much and when you'll actually see that revenue. Score offers templates that you can use to help plan your cash flow and financial projections so that you don't get caught short. So this is one area that when I go in and talk with a customer, I ask, you know, I need to see everything, credit cards, loans, everything, because I got to know, how are you going to pay your bills? And then the next part of that is, when do your customers pay their bills? And if I start hearing things like, well, you know, we have customers that take 45 days, 60 days, you know, some take 70, 90 days. It's way too long, and we got to reel those folks in. And sometimes it's a simple phone call. Sometimes, you know, it may be a phone call that I make to their client and just say, look, you know, I'm here because they're in trouble because, you know, you're 2 months behind and they've got bills to pay. And I think we've all been at one point or another in that predicament, and it's not a comfortable feeling. And it's probably one of the things that keeps most business owners up at night. In sports, in NASCAR, Tony Stewart won last week's road course race at Sonoma, California. This week, the teams are going to head to Daytona for the Coke Zero 400 this Saturday night, July 2nd at 8:04 p.m. on NBC. Racing is back on NBC. In other NASCAR news, it was reported earlier this week that 20-year-old Matt Tift, who drives in the truck series for Joe Gibbs Racing, has been diagnosed with a benign brain tumor and will undergo surgery soon to remove it, and he hopes to return to racing soon. No timetable has been established for when that will happen. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, Matt Tift is one of the nicest kids you will ever meet, and I certainly do wish him well, both with the surgery and in his recovery. In golf, the Greenbrier Classic has been canceled due to the devastating floods in West Virginia at the Greenbrier Country Club. It suffered severe damage to the course, and as a result of the storms, most likely it could be months before that golf course is able to reopen. So thinking again about the folks in West Virginia, and I'll have more information on how you can help them down there in just a minute. In Major League Baseball, the regular season is underway, and the Orioles, Indians, and Rangers lead their divisions in the American League, while the Nationals, Cubs, and Giants lead their divisions in the National League. And would you look at Cleveland, or should I say Believeland, winning the NBA Finals 2 weeks ago and now in first place in Major League Baseball. What will the Browns do to top this? Legendary coach Pat Summitt, who led the Tennessee Volunteers lady basketball program to 8 national champions, has died, as has Buddy Ryan, the defensive guru of the 1985 Super Bowl champion Chicago Bears and later as head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. In NCAA baseball, the Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina will face the Arizona Wildcats in the decisive Game 3 of the College World Series. That game was supposed to be played last night but was postponed. If they win, it'll be the Chanticleers' first national championship and the Wildcats' fifth. Once again, a reminder that if you want to help the victims of the West Virginia floods, you can send cleaning supplies of any kind, mops, buckets, sponges, paper towels, anything, to the Elkview Baptist Church. That's at 1150 Main Street in Elkview, West Virginia. The zip code is 25071. That message comes to me from my college roommate, Chris Brunetti, who was affected by the flooding. 80 square miles of damage as a result of the West Virginia floods. So hopefully you'll be able to help the folks down there and help them recover as quickly as possible. And then again tomorrow night, don't forget that here in Flemington on Main Street at the old former Heinlein gas station is the new filling station, a project of the Flemington Community Partnership. This is a place where people can go and gather any night of the week, but on Friday and Saturday, you'll also be able to purchase beer and wine and have food brought in from certain vendors. So hopefully you will take advantage of that. It starts at 5 p.m., runs till 10 p.m. And then tonight, if you got nothing to do, head over to Somerville High School for the Bazelone Bowl, where I'll be announcing the game featuring senior players from area high schools in Somerset and Hunterdon counties. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at Jim.